Hello and welcome to today's episode of the My Faith in Christ podcast. I am your host, Jaira Gibson, and I'm delighted to have you join us for a time of inspiration and revelation. My goal is to help you understand your position and identity in Christ and how to apply that knowledge to live the abundant life that Jesus promised He came to give us. So again, welcome, and let's get into today's topic. Hello and happy 2025. I trust and pray and believe that your New Year's off to a fabulous start. Hey, what about those New Year's resolutions? Huh? You keeping track on those? Going to lose some weight, be a little more productive, a little more organized. Well, you know, we're 25 days in the new year. Give yourself some grace if you missed a mark here and there, because trust me, it's going to be all right. But don't let it go for too long. Anyway, as far as today's topic, I'm glad and excited that you're joining me today. Wherever you're listening from, I pray that you're blessed and highly favored, and that you'll receive the goodness of God in every area of your life today. And as we get into today's topic, which is blessed, chosen, and empowered in Christ. And as we begin this, I want you to ponder for just a moment, as we'll learn here in the scriptures, how, in fact, that was God's plan from the very beginning, that we be blessed and chosen in Christ. And it's all a part of His will. You know, you hear people arguing what the will of God is, and it's not for us to know His will. Well, I beg to differ, because He lays it out plainly in the scriptures, as we're going to get into here in a little bit. As a way of introduction, sometimes you ever have questions without answers? You know, sometimes we ponder things like purpose. Why are we here? And trying to identify what our purpose is. I think the goal is to know what it is you're supposed to do. But a lot of times we confuse that with who we are. And those who have that confusion going on, it trips them up when it comes to the things of God. Because unless you are fully convinced of the Father's love for you, will be easy to revert to the idea of thinking that you have to do certain things or maintain a certain lifestyle to be pleasing to God, missing entirely the fact that you are already pleasing to God because of who you believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. There's this understanding too that, or I should say misunderstanding, that we're trying to get to a certain place in God to be pleasing to Him and satisfying in and of ourselves. Well, let me tell you, there's nothing more blessed. There's no more blessing than to know that you're exactly where you're supposed to be. And I'm here to tell you, be excited, because you are exactly where you're supposed to be. Now, I'm not necessarily speaking about physical location. You may not be happy or completely satisfied with your physical location at the present moment. Nonetheless, where you are in your walk with God is exactly where you're supposed to be. And I'm going to show you why it's important that you understand that, because the first rule of reading a map, or in this new world we live in with GPS and navigation systems in our vehicles, the first rule of understanding that the nav system is going to figure out where you are, where you're starting from, before they lay out a route to where you're going to go. And so I think it's important to understand our identity in Christ. And as we see here in Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to be reading in verses 3 through 14, we're going to learn about the fact that we are chosen, blessed, and empowered in Christ. Amen? Starting off verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of this grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In whom you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire the possession of it to the praise of his glory. Amen. So like it says in verses 4 and 5, we are chosen before the foundation of the world and adopted as God's children. So we need to see ourselves as belonging to the family of God and are unconditionally loved. God loves you no matter what. And the coolest part about it is that there's not a thing you can do about it. Amen. He loves you unconditionally. And in fact, the Greek word for chosen is kaleo, and it means to call out. So before the very foundation of the world, God called us out by name. Amen. And he saw us through the eyes of faith that we would be righteous. Amen. So we need to see ourselves as God sees us while we're not looking at the things which are seen that are temporary. Amen. But the things that are not seen, which are eternal, in terms of living by faith and not by sight. Verse 7 goes on to say that through the blood of Christ, we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. So what does that say to me? That says to me that I can walk in freedom, knowing that my sins have been paid for. There's nothing I need to do to be forgiven because it's already been done. Amen. There's no certain type of lifestyle. Obviously, I want to honor God with my lifestyle, but keep in mind, though, that when we miss the mark, we're still under that waterfall of grace and God's forgiveness. Amen? And going back up here in the scriptures, it says that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to what? His purpose, which he set forth in Christ. In other words, then it goes on to say how he's working all things according to the counsel of his will. As we look at these scriptures, we also know that when Jesus hung on the cross, the last thing he said was, "It is finished." Something we need to understand and realize, though, is all the work has been done. This is speaking, you know, it started off that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Amen. Past tense, already been done. Before the foundation of the world, you were chosen to be a part of his family. You were chosen to be righteous. You were chosen according to what? His will. So let me think about this. So think about this for a second. If God predestined you, called you before the foundation of the world to be righteous in him, and at that moment you received Christ, you became righteous in him, chosen in him, empowered in him. That was the fulfillment of what God saw those many years ago. Amen? In the concept of time that we have. Therefore, you are walking around fulfillment of the very spoken prophecy and promise of God. Amen? Put that in your pipe and smoke it a little bit. But the point is, understanding the foundation of understanding who you are in Christ starts with that. You are forgiven. You are empowered. You have been chosen. When you think about being chosen, growing up playing sports out on the playground, trying out for sports in high school, you know, your goal was to get picked for the team. And man, what a great feeling that was to get picked for the team. You're going to be on the team. You're going to be on the starting squad. And your name gets called. And your name is on the right list to be a part of the team. How did that make you feel? As you can imagine. Well, fast forward. When you go to an interview. You apply for a job. You get an interview. They call you in. They sit you down. You go through this process. Sometimes it's one interview. Sometimes it's two or three. Different things. Sometimes you have to take an assessment. And meet different people. different people that you work with, different members of the team. Nonetheless, you go through this process. At the end of the process, they put an offer on the table. They chose you. In all of those cases, now watch this, in all of those cases, you were chosen based on, when it comes to sports, your ability to perform. When it comes to getting a job, your experience, your education, your background, your likability as you went through the interview process. You dressed up. You showed up professionally sharp dressed. Amen. In all those situations, you had to do something to get picked. When it comes to God, you were picked before you chose. Yeah, hallelujah. God chose you before you chose him. Huh? So if that's the case, since that is the case, what reason, what do we have to fear when it comes to making mistakes? Nobody likes to make some mistakes, but let me tell you something. Last I checked, nobody in this world is perfect. And that's a part of our calling when it comes to helping reach other people with the message of God's love and the message of his grace. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul talks about how we were spiritually dead, but because of God's grace, we are alive with purpose. Amen. Verse 1 says, and you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we have once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Grace, unmerited, unearned favor, the unearned favor of God, have we been saved, right? And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Huh? It's for by grace you have been saved through faith, that it is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that anyone may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should what? Walk in them. Not in doing good works, but the works that we were created. Let me get my thought process here. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Here it is. When the disciples were having a discussion with Jesus, they said, what must we do? It's in the book of John. What must we do to do the works of God? To do the works of God, Jesus said, is to believe on him and the one he sent. Amen. And it's because we move and breathe and have our being in Christ. In the book of John 15, he said, without the vine, you can do nothing. So it is by the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that we lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That we speak a word in due season when someone needs to hear because we heard something from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Like it says in verse 1 and 3, we were separated from God because of our sin. So if we were separated, and all we needed to do was receive Christ, to be joined together with him in Christ through the avenue of faith. Amen. And we're alive by grace. In verses 4 and 5, God, who rich in mercy, made us alive together with Christ, so that we can live out our gratitude for God's grace. And that's what it really comes down to. That's our response. There's no effort involved. It's just simply being thankful. Being thankful to God. Verse 10 talks about how we are God's masterpiece, created for a purpose. See, don't get it twisted. You are already a successful person because God is with you. Amen? And even better than, we have a better covenant than Joseph had. God is within through the power of the Holy Spirit. So step into the calling that God has prepared for you. Amen? You may be called to do exactly what you're doing, but because you're so busy trying to find something, you don't even know. You haven't even realized it. And so we walk away, we come away from the result of that is frustration and confusion and not understanding. The things that we don't understand, we tend to fear. If you fear something, you tend to stay away from it. Amen. Every time it comes up in your spirit, it's like a punch in the gut. You don't want to think about it. You don't want to discuss it. But when you know who you are, let me take a second here. When Satan, tempted Jesus in the wilderness, and he came to Jesus, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Now, what if Jesus didn't know he was the Son of God? How could that have changed the whole dynamic of a lot if Jesus didn't know who it was? If Jesus didn't know he was the Son of God? And one word, if, throws people off all the time. Well, if I was a Christian, I wouldn't be doing X, Y, Z. If I really love God, sometimes self-imposed. Many more times, it is from outside influences, based on performances in other areas of life, such as applying for a job, getting hired, getting called in for an interview, going out for a sports team, your name gets added to the roster based on something you did. Because obviously, you can't get put on the roster if you don't show up for the tryouts, right? Amen. So that there's a gift, give and exchange, give and take exchange going on. You do something, you're going to get something. You go to work every day, get a paycheck. Then you go to the store to buy milk, you walk out the door with milk, right? There's a give and exchange. There's an effort, a certain amount of effort, a certain amount of action is going to produce a certain amount of result in every area of life, except for having to do something to earn God's grace, amen, because you don't need to. Praise God. Now, furthermore, in Ephesians chapter 2, Christ breaks down the barriers and then unites us as one body. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at times separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father, so that you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you were also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Through Christ's blood we are brought near to God. Embrace the fact that you're in God's family. You belong. As members of one body, we should go out of our way to make each other feel welcome, loved, and cared for, just as God does with us, as demonstrated by the fact that it was by his good pleasure that we be accepted in Christ. Amen. Again, what is your response? Do what Jesus would do. Amen. Christ is our peace, breaking down the walls of division. Work toward unity in our relationships and the body of Christ, which is the church. Right? We want to pursue fellowship and spiritual growth in community. You know, the cornerstone, when it talks about to understand the importance of the cornerstone, when these massive skyscrapers, that they set the cornerstone, which is where all the walls are, the cornerstone is the foundation, is basically the foundation of the building, because all the walls are tied into that, and that's what's going to hold up the building. Amen. And that's what it's saying here, that Jesus holds it all together. Praise God. And we're strengthened by Christ's power. God empowers us to live boldly and abundantly through his Spirit. In Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, it says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father." This is a prayer the Apostle Paul is praying for the people of Ephesus, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that what is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This prayer for Paul is a prayer for us today, the Ephesian church can be extended to us today, because it's God's desire that we understand how much he loves us. Have you noticed a reoccurring theme in here, that it's all about how much God loves us? And getting the revelation of grace and how much God loves us comes through getting a revelation. Pray for God's power in your daily walk. It's in Corinthians where it says that his grace is sufficient. I have superabounding grace to help me in every area of my weakness. I declare that. I declare that over you. You have superabounding grace in every area of your weakness. And that grace is more sufficient to build you up and cause you to be victorious in every situation, circumstance, and challenge. I declare it. I believe it. You know, we're rooted in love. God's love surpasses all understanding, and it anchors us. You know, just share God's love with others. You don't have to say God loves you. Just be kindful. In this world today, there's a lot of junk going on. Can we just say it like that? A lot of junk going on. And people are concerned about lots of things. And so people are looking for genuine, authentic people, and just be genuine, authentic. Show the love of Christ. Show people some grace. People aren't perfect. People are going to disappoint you. People are going to let you down. But it's okay. Yeah, it's okay, because people are not your source for you knowing who you are. People are not your source for supplying for your needs. Amen? So trust God for the impossible in your life. He said he can do more. He's can do abundantly. Let me read this again. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. I mean, I got a big imagination. According to the power that's working, how does that power work in you? Through the eyes, through faith, right? Acknowledging that, not by what you do. Again, I can't come. It's not what you do. Just hey. The power of God is at work within me. I yield myself to the power of the Holy Spirit. I have authority over every situation or circumstance. I'm going to show love, the love of God, to everyone I come in contact with. When I miss it, when I make the mark, if I get into an argument with my wife and I say something, apologize. Apologize. Be kind. When you ask please and thank you. It's a sad situation when couples are kinder to strangers than they are to each other. That ought not to be. Amen. Amen. Show love to everyone all the time. Reflect on your identity in Christ. Understand that. Ask God. Seek Him out. Help him. Ask Him to help you understand. Amen. Surround yourself with other people whose faith may be a notch or two, that who may have more confidence in their faith than you do. And ask them, how do you apply understanding your identity in Christ? Amen. Accept that. I believe the first step is to believe it. Just receive it. I believe the first step is to receive it by faith, and God will show you. Amen. Walk in the purpose and power God has given you. What is the purpose and power God has given you? I am above only and not beneath. I am saved. I am health. I'm whole. I have the mind of Christ. I know exactly what to do in this situation. I have no fear. Glory to God. I know what God said He's going to do. He's going to do it. Right? That's how you walk. You walk with a boldness, not with a, and it's going to come across as arrogant. And for some, it's going to feel weird because it's not your natural tendency to be bold and to express confidence. But I'm here to tell you, it's your time. Amen. 2025 is the year of great grace. Therefore, the more you walk in your purpose and identity in Christ, the more different things will become easy for you. Again, it's not because of your performance, because it's already done. Jesus, I've chosen you. Jesus, God said, I've chosen you, and Jesus said, it's finished. Right? And so it's like having access, seeing things manifested, being more aware, more sensitive of the power of God working in your life, and giving you more reason, if you will, more reason to say thank you, more reason to give God praise and glory. Amen. So I trust this word has been a blessing to you. Be well and make it a great day.
And that's a wrap of this leg of our journey. And although I trust you've been blessed by today's episode, please do me a favor and leave me a comment or perhaps share a different perspective. I also invite you to subscribe so that you are notified every time a new chapter of this journey is released. And together we'll grow in the knowledge and faith of who we are in Christ. Good day and God bless.